thank you. We're joined, as usual, by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, Rhode Island.
And University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Good morning, Maureen.
Good morning, everyone.
And we're pleased to welcome the recently elected minority leader in the Rhode Island House of Representatives, West Warwick State Representative Patricia Morgan, a Republican. Thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
Republicans lost two seats in the House in elections last month, but the new GOP leader in the chamber, our guest Patricia Morgan, is known for using a more confrontational approach to take on Democrats than her predecessor, Brian Newberry. Representative Morgan, what are two or three of your top goals for the upcoming legislative session?
First of all, we're only one short of where we were last year. So we still have 11. And I think that we're going to use the Republican Policy Group again to take on issues that we think are important to Rhode Islanders.
Which issues?
we haven't firmed up our legislative agenda for this coming year, but I know one of the things that I want to look at is childcare. I think it's getting very, very expensive. And there seems to be a nexus there between almost overregulation and the cost.
All right, let's go to a question or comment from Maureen.
Well, one of the things we learned after this election was that while you didn't do that well legislatively, there were indications of deep support for the Republican Party. Do you intend to have an aggressive program to really look into these places, particularly in rural areas where Donald Trump did well, and try to recruit active, engaged Republicans to run for the legislature?
You know, we actually had some really strong candidates this last time. They were good, they were strong, and many of them finished within a handful of points of winning. I know that doesn't get them over the finish line, I get that. But they'll come back, they'll be seasoned this time, and we will do everything we can to support them so that they can win. I think one of the issues in Rhode Island is we really do need to have differences of opinion in the state house. It will make us stronger as a state.
I think a lot of people agree with you as far as the need for a two-party system. But I'm wondering, even in a year where people wanted change, where we saw on the national and in some instances the state level, the Republican Party still didn't deliver. And why you think that is? And why can't you recruit better candidates? I just don't get it.
And just let me follow up briefly on Scott's point. Brandon Bell, the state Republican chairman, says the issue is really a lack of money to support Republican candidates. He says things were better when Republicans held the governor's office and Governor Carcheri was able to steer fundraising to help support candidates. In the absence of a Republican governor, what can Republicans do to be more effective in electing some of their candidates?
Let me go to you, Scott, first. We had great candidates. We really did. Not in every race, and I think we need to cover more races, if that's your point. But we really had good, strong candidates. What went wrong? Do you know in a presidential election, we get 31% more folks coming into the polling than in a non-year? And this year, all of the oxygen was taken from the presidential level. Let's just face it. Everyone was talking about Trump and Clinton. And I mean, even me going door to door, people were asking me about the presidential. They weren't talking to me about state issues. That's what happened to us. It happens to us every presidential election. And I think you know
high
that.
Turnout in Rhode Island really does hurt Republicans.
It does. You know, because the folks that come in just for presidential tend not to be focusing on the state issues. We certainly had state issues. And I think there is momentum that people are unhappy with the direction of our state, and we're just going to continue to do our work and show them what Republicans would do, the things that we would advocate for that would make their lives better.
Briefly, before we move on to another topic, do you see anything that Republicans can do to build a stronger fundraising apparatus to support the growth of Republican elected officials?
Yeah, we have to ask. I think the party hasn't been asking. And, you know, I was chairman during Governor Carcheri's time in office. We put together events and we asked. We asked people to come. And I think that's what you need.
Well, let's move on and talk about how debate continues over the proposed expansion of the Achievement First Charter School. Supporters like State Education Commissioner Ken Wagner say Achievement First is bringing much needed improvement to public education in Rhode Island. But critics say this will take money from traditional public schools. And there's also the question of what happens to children who don't have a parent or guardian to act as a strong advocate for them. Representative Morgan, Republicans are generally strong supporters of charter schools. What is your take on this issue?
So you know I was a teacher, and for me, education is the strongest and probably the only way for children to get a better foot up in life, right? They need strong educations. And it's clear that our traditional public schools have not been delivering that to all of our children. So yes, I am a supporter of charter schools. I'm a supporter of any school that will give kids a better chance of being successful in life.
What can be done for those poor kids who don't have a strong parent or guardian who has the interest to try and get them into a charter school?
Well, charter schools, you know, they're lottery, and I get it. Parents have to say they want to be a part of the lottery. There's a fallacy out there that just, you know, well-off kids go, because the Blackstone Valley Prep, I think it is, they have a whole mixture of kids. It's not just the wealthy. It's not just the ones with solid, stable home lives. What do we do with those? Maybe we look at magnet schools for kids who are in transition all the time, where their parents are moving a lot. I mean, one of the strong things for children is having an environment that they can count on, the same kids, the same teachers, the same buildings. So maybe it's a magnet school idea. But I think we need to understand that charter schools are public schools. And I think the conversation about cost, it's important. It's very important. We know that. Cost, taxpayers can only afford so much. But it's a separate conversation from whether kids should get a good education or not.
Scott, how do you see the role of charter schools in trying to improve public education in Rhode Island?
You know, charter schools have become controversial, I think, mainly because they've been tied up in a labor management battle. And in Rhode Island, we seem to want to blame the teachers' unions for everything. Although I look across the border in Massachusetts, where they have the highest test scores in the country, and guess what? All the teachers are unionized. So I wish we could take this argument out of a management labor thing and base it more on data. We know that some charter schools do a very good job. We know that others don't. And there are entire school systems where we can see this. The city of Detroit went just about all the charter schools, and it is a disaster. Mm-hmm. Now, the city of New Orleans did something similar after Katrina, and the results are much better.
Look, I think there's a middle ground here. I think charter schools are here to stay. I think the governor, as well as the commissioner, are committed to the expansion of Achievement First. But there are legitimate concerns that the public schools have for the other 15,000 students that aren't the beneficiary of this. And Sam Zuria read a really good report that talked about there's a compromise
here. City councilman in Providence.
And there's a compromise here. You can adjust the model. This is a 10-year expansion. So when you say $132 million, we're talking over 10 years. There's no reason why we can't work out a workable system that accommodates some of the legitimate concerns of the public schools in terms of funding and the students' money being followed to the charter schools, and a model that allows this kind of expansion and this kind of competition. You can't blame the teachers, but you've got to look at the funding formulas and the model so they both can coexist and we can get better at what we do.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Thank you.
Maureen.
Thank you.
And State Representative Patricia Morgan, the new Republican leader in the Rhode Island House of Representatives.
Thanks for having me.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage.
Major funding for Political Roundtable is provided by the Rhode Island Foundation, using philanthropy to move Rhode Island forward. Details at rhodeislandfoundation.org.